A special shout out to our sponsors, the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. We're now fully open for business. We're ready to serve you at our flagship restaurant, Trust, Rare Society, Cardellino, and Fort Oak. Executive chef and co-owner Brad Wise wants to share his love of good eats with our San Diego community. Chef Brad uses locally sourced ingredients that change with the season. Trust staff's aim is to provide their patrons with great food, cocktails, wine, and service. We invite you to come to any of our fine restaurants for a meal of a lifetime. In good food, we trust. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ, and joining me, like always, is MLL star, San Diego Legion star, and U.S. Eagle. And let me say this clearly this time, my favorite rugby player, Nate Augsburger. Yeah. What's happening, my brother Nate?
Doing well, man. Having a good week. I'm doing well. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Joining us, like always, well, we got to say it, celebrity chef, host of the Chef Rock Show, famous cook and all-around great guy, one of my favorite people, Chef Rock. How you doing, my brother?
Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Nate Dog. What's up? Well, how you guys doing?
So, Nate, let's get right to it, brother. Another loss last week for the team. But we still got our fingers crossed and we're still hoping for a miracle to get in the playoffs and make a run in the championship. But one of the things I want to say is you got some action, right?
Yeah, I finally got back out, CJ. And, you know, I hate to break your heart on live here, but we're mathematically out of the picture at this stage. But, you know, fair play. I'll give Austin a lot of credit. And you know, LA probably deserves some credit as well. But they're a good team, and I think they've got one hell of a race with Utah here in LA to see who comes out top two. So yeah, it was a tough game for us as a squad. We all know we probably could have played better, and I was just tough to be out there and get to run out at Torero Stadium. It was a great experience, and the fans were so awesome. They were cheering loud, and it was a great night.
So is that why you went out there and laid some wood on some people? Because I saw you do some shots. I'm like, wow, he's got some built up energy, just trying to knock people out.
I saw that. You go 9 weeks where you just kind of trap yourself in a cage, and you know, thankfully, I always got the guys kind of keeping me on edge and keeping me ready. But yeah, man, just always good to get out there and get physical. I like that stuff.
I don't know what's for the people who are not as mature as myself. Laying wood means is giving a real good hard hit. I know you young people nowadays.
Nothing like a good hard hit.
Yeah, that was NFL football type hits out there. So,
Nate, hit him, buddy.
So our guest today, you're going to introduce, is your colleague. And he had a great game.
What's that, CJ?
I said also he had a great game. So he was one of the highlights.
Great game.
Yeah. It's very, very true. Yeah, Bjorn Bassan, he was definitely a highlight for us last week. He's been a great guy to have on the team. And, you know, so without further ado, Bjorn, thanks for joining us today, this afternoon, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
No, thanks a lot, guys. Really stoked to be here.
Yeah. Bjorn's one of the Springboks on our team, and it's good to have a South African on. We have a few very good ones in our team, and Bjorn's played a lot of really high-level rugby. He's played a lot of Super Rugby, which is a Southern Hemisphere competition. And, you know, we're just lucky to have him here in America. So, Bjorn, I'll just cut to the chase. I'll just fire a quick question to you. So, South Africa is known for their size, their physicality, and their speed. How do you think the MLR has measured up to your expectations competition-wise?
Oh, well, I think it's exceeded my expectations. I didn't expect it to be as physical as it is. But yeah, I mean, looking at it week in and week out, we got a lot of physical teams that we get to play against. It's quite fast-paced as well. I could actually say it's up there. And I mean, with the influx of foreign players coming in, it's making the game a whole lot better. And I mean, every player in the league has to step up and perform each week. So, yeah, I think it's up there.
Yeah, man. And Bjorn's known as the gazelle on our team. He's probably one of the fastest guys. You know, it'd be really fun to get Bjorn in a foot race with Carlin or Perry. Bjorn, are you familiar with those two guys, the USA Sevens boys?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've watched a couple of Sevens games. I don't think I'm as good as what Carlin or Baker is at this moment. Yeah, maybe in my younger years. So, yeah, but right now,
How old are you now?
34. I'm 34 right now. 34 years young.
34.
Yeah, I know. Bjorn was one of the highlights from the last weekend. If anybody saw you, he was running rampant. He got to show off some of his speed. We like to call him the gazelle. I think the Rugby Network actually did like a little video where it was like, you know, Bjorn was running or Tommy was running, and then Tommy they did running, a bunch of gazelles running. And it was really cool. I think some of the Bjorn fans have been pretty good.
Yeah, my wife said that's one of her favorites that you've seen so far.
Yeah.
Awesome. So playing in the MLR has met your expectations, and so you feel like this is the league for you to stay in for a while and play the next couple of years. What's your plans and what's your expectation of this league going forward?
Well, like I said, there's a whole lot of foreign players that's actually looking forward to joining the MLR. I was one of those players that actually just wanted to get here. And now that I'm here, I obviously want to stay here for as long as I can, for as long as my body can keep me going. Yeah, I think if I can hit 40, then that's a good age to stop.
Yeah, 6 years at Legion. All right, we'll take it.
That'd be great. We'll take that.
Yeah.
So we know some people there. You know, we'll make a few phone calls for you.
we'll put the vote in, buddy.
We ain't gonna guarantee your contract, but we'll make a few phone calls for you. We'll see what happens. No, you know what
hey, Bjorn, I'm a chef, so. We spoke about it briefly, but I know this is your first time in the United States. I know you guys started out in Vegas, but you're here in San Diego. What's the cuisine like here versus what you grew up eating? Must be completely different.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of more Mexican food. I'm used to quite a lot of spicy foods. Okay. Me and my family, we grow up eating a lot of spicy food. My kids love spicy food as well. So, yeah, I mean, we've traveled the world quite a lot. So, yeah, we've experienced quite a lot of different cuisines. I picked up a thing or two on my tours as well. So I love cooking. So I love doing a few things for myself. Me and my wife, we cook together. So we take a day during the week where we'll just have a Google and look at what we can do for the week, try something new, try something not from South Africa. So, yeah, cooking runs in my veins as well.
Nice. Well, you have my permission to go Google chefrock.com. I got a lot of recipes online.
I'll try one.
Don't do it, buddy.
Do it. Why?
CBD-infused nuts, you know? So don't forget that, chef.
Let me try to say some stuff like that, dude.
Get some CBD nuts, baby. Hey,
so how many kids do you have, young man?
I got three kids. Three boys. Three boys, yeah.
Keep you busy.
Keeping me very, very busy. Well, at this point, keeping my wife very busy. She's the one caught up with them. So,
And Bjorn, I know your family originally was going to be joining you this season, and because of the pandemic and a lot of moving parts with us as a team, they weren't able to be here. You've kind of had a lot of injuries and stuff, but. I kind of know the answer to the question, but what's motivates you every day? What's getting you up to go again each week?
Well, I think making my kids proud. Yeah, I mean, my elder son looks up to me quite a lot. So he basically wants to see everything that I do, and he wants to copy it. He wants to just do everything that I can do. So, yeah. So him waking up usually with his mother to watch our games. Some mornings, if he can't do it, if it's a little bit too early for him to do it. Yeah, he'll definitely want to go through the highlights. So I think getting myself into the highlight reel as often as possible was a bit of a booster as well. So I know my kid can has something to say to me. Yeah, I know they like criticizing me a lot as well. My wife is probably my biggest critic. Yeah, she's learned the game through and through now. So yeah, I try to not make too many mistakes. Because I know she'll probably grill me for that.
So that's interesting, huh? Because you can't mess up at home. You can't mess up on the field.
No. I thought it was something new.
Woo, you're in trouble, buddy. So having your sons look up to you, so are you looking for them to play rugby? Are they playing rugby somewhere right now? Or, you know, are they going to participate in rugby?
Yeah, well, my eldest son was playing. He was playing a bit of rugby, started off. Well, he's a prop at the moment because he's quite big for his age. So at the moment he's playing prop. He's not a winger like his father. So yeah, he loves the game. So he's taking it. Well, at this point they actually stopped playing in South Africa due to COVID and stuff like that. So yeah, he's been trying to keep himself busy. But my kids love rugby. So they actually, one of those children, they can sit in front of the TV and actually watch a game, and then speak about it afterwards with me. So yeah, they love the game.
All right, so make sure you tell them to watch the Quick Tech Rugby Outlier podcast on the Rugby Network, and so they can become fans of us, and we'll talk them through rugby, and we'll learn something together about rugby, and then I'll send them a little autographed shirt or something. You know, I'm looking for
Dad on there too next week. I'll be able to see Dad on there.
Bjorn, what's the youngest level of rugby there? I'm curious because, you know, in America we've made a lot of strides and a lot of progress in the level of play because of focusing on our youth and having kids get introduced to rugby at a younger age and stuff. I'm just curious because I know in other parts of the world they start young, they play barefoot, they play tackle. Yeah. What's it like in South Africa at the moment?
Oh well, back in South Africa, they actually started with the younger boys. They play a little bit more of ripper rugby. So they play with the tags on the side of the flag rugby. So yeah, I think with the ages of between the ages of 3 to 7, they try and do that just to keep the kids a bit busy, and then they become a little bit more competitive from the age of 8. So yeah, my kid actually started playing full contact at when he was 8 years old. So yeah,
nice.
Good. Rack those brains early, right?
I mean, when you start playing.
That's a great sport for young kids.
Yeah. He actually took a bit of a turn because while I was playing, when he was a bit younger, to him it was rugby's been taking my father away from me. So he actually hated rugby. So he never really loved watching it or didn't want to go to any of my games when he was quite young. Once he started playing himself, he understood why I loved it so much. So yeah, then he took a little bit more interest in it. So for the last past 3 years, he's been so into rugby.
Awesome. That's great to hear that he came back after he started playing and pretty much found out what that team camaraderie is like that you enjoy and why you love the game. You know, Nate, last week when you were with Sam, he said something really interesting that you guys are now playing the rest of your season for fun. You know, I mean, the pressure's off. Now you guys could really fully enjoy the game, these last few games together as a team. I thought that was pretty, well said. Yeah.
We've come to a very interesting point. You know, obviously we had really high expectations, but he's not wrong. You know, when you only have two games left and you're out of the playoff picture, we start grasping at straws on what we really want to get out of the last two games. I think for us, that's definitely one of them. For a team who's so driven and so motivated to win a championship and to not have that to go after, you kind of start looking around. And I think the joy of the game and having fun is definitely a big motivator for us. Mm. The other part that we've kind of spoke about, and Bjorn, please feel free to elaborate on this, but we spoke about the character that we want to be. Who do we want to be as a team? Who do we want to show out as in these last couple games? And obviously, you know, not laying down to anybody and, staying tough and being who we are.
Yeah. I agree with you, Nate, as well. I think the last couple of games when we realized that we were still in the competition, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Mentally, I think the guys just tired themselves out, putting too much pressure on themselves. And we actually forgot to just enjoy the game.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, the more we enjoy it, I mean, I play at my best and I'm just enjoying myself, smiling on the field. I know a lot of guys know me for just smiling on the field. I I try not to really get too tense, too worked up, because I think that's when I actually tend to lose myself in the game. So yeah, I think that's maybe a trait that a couple of players can pick up, because usually most guys are quite fun off the field, fun-loving guys, and when they get onto the field, actually work themselves up to a certain point where they actually tire themselves out.
So yeah, I think yeah, we call that red brain.
What do you call it, Nate?
We call that red brain. that's what we call red brain. You want to go full red brain. That's where you're not thinking, you're not looking, you're just kind of all tied up in the intensity and the physicality, you know. And so we got to be smart out there. And you know, luckily Bjorn on the wing, he has time to keep a cool head and really serve and assess. And he's right. It's a great quality to have in any position in rugby, to be able to keep calm, but still bring the heat when you need to.
Yeah, but let me ask the both of you this question. Don't you want to build on for next season? I mean, you started off difficult because you played in a different city than you were. You didn't have the hometown fans, you didn't have the crowd, but now you're at this point where some of the crowd is back, but not this week, but you know, some of the fans are back and the tension, the country's opening up. Don't you want to take this opportunity to build towards next season, build some cohesiveness and say, hey, look, we end the season on two solid wins. We won by a good margin and we're playing super well. And then we look forward to going to the next season. Then the writers and the critics will say, hey, look, the San Diego Legion is coming out to look for them to come out the gate hot for next season. So I pose that question to both of you. How do you feel about, you know, thinking that way?
Let me recruit Bjorn for next season again. Anyways, make sure he comes back. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you all the way on that. I think we've come to a spot where, you know, we've put a challenge to ourselves as a team, and at the end of the day, we're in a position where we just have to show it out there, and we know who we are. That's the brilliant part about our team, is that even though we haven't had the type of success that we wanted, who we are, who the men are that wear the jersey, and who the Legion is as a team, we can still put that on show and on broadcast, and it should put the fear in some other teams if we do it the right way, and that's what we're looking to do. Plus, you know, this weekend we're going up against Seattle, who's a team we've long rivaled out here in the West, a team that we always have a bit of beef with and a really solid competition with. So, you know, there's no love lost when it comes to us playing Seattle, and we look forward to the challenge of trying to take those guys down and finish strong.
And just to add on what Nate is saying, obviously, I'm a firm believer that you're only as good as your last game. So I know you are obviously players that want to get seen at the end of the season. We just gave up. We didn't really stick in the fight. So yeah, I'm looking forward to actually the last two games and see what the guys got and what they're going to bring to the table. I believe that the next 2 weeks are going to be great. But I mean, if we could actually keep, I've been sitting and thinking if a bunch of the players or a good percentage of the players that are here, I mean, we got a couple of great players here, can actually stay in the system and actually just stay on for next year. I mean, that's building as well. Not just ending the way that you want to end, but beginning the season with the same guys that you basically ended with gives you a bit more of a momentum as well.
Yeah, it gives the team also the owners and say, hey, look, I'm going to keep this group together. They were gelling at the right time, the right moment. Let's bring them all back and put them back on the field together again, you know. So, you know, again, I'm already looking forward to next season, but I want to see the next couple games. And I'm becoming, I'm becoming a rugby fan. I'm becoming a real rugby fan. Yeah. And I'm becoming a real, guy who's trying to understand the game a little bit more every single game and stuff like that. So, again, so tell me – the both of you, this is the question I'm posing to both of you. If you lose out the last two games, and this may be a hard question for you guys to answer. If you lose out the last two games, what are you going to – do you think you need to blow the team up, or do you just think that it just was what it was? I mean, it's kind of a difficult question because, it's like I'm trying not to be like a jerk with the question, but I want to know, if you lose the last two games, what the hell will you be thinking?
Yeah,
CJ,
well,
jeez.
Yeah, there's a domino question there next week.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that if we do end up probably losing the next two games, I think the team will blow up in the sense that a lot of the players would actually be disappointed with themselves. I think the owners then would want to look at different players, maybe to build a new team. And I don't think that's always a good thing to build a team every single year, because, I mean, your momentum starts off quite slow, then you have to build up, and then at the end of the season, if things don't go your way, you start building the next season and start building the next season. I mean, when are you going to get to a point that you actually got good momentum, got good clicks within the team as well, guys that gel quite well? So, yeah, I think the next two games, like you say, is very crucial. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think, I just think the guys got a whole lot to prove.
By the way, that was a great answer. I mean, honestly, if I was an owner of a team, I was listening. That's a great answer, because you pinpoint everything on the head. You know, it's all up to the players. Really, it's up to each other coming together. You know, really boils down to, you know, the owners will look at it and say, hey, look, you know, we got to blow this up. We thought we had a great thing, and we need to look at it closely. But keeping everybody together, even on a down year, keeping everybody together is good, because it built a cohesion and build a team camaraderie, and it built things up where it's going to be better next year. It takes you can't build a team every single season. It takes too much. You know what I'm saying? So Nate, if you don't want to answer the question, you don't have to answer.
I got a different just kind of, like, you know, I listen to a lot of sports and a lot of different things, and it's really hard to sit and say blow up and what does that mean, you know? Like, for us, I feel like what San Diego's been built on, being a family-oriented team, the identity that we have formed is really strong. And that's something that can't change. And so maybe you look at the season and you go, well, how do we bring that back out with the players that we have or are going to have? And how can we assert it in a better way so that it can be more effective? You know, there's a lot of different things that go into that. But I think as a guy who loves his team and wants to continue to be on this team, I think that's where my gears start shifting, is just like, where can we have gotten better and how can we improve? Because we don't need to rewrite the book here. You know, we have something. We have something that's really special, and there's a lot of really special players on the team. But how can we do it in a way where it's going to lead to a championship next year? You know, so that's what I would say in answering that question.
Well, I'll tell you, another good answer.
That was a good answer.
I'm sorry. I took it down to a kind of dark place for a second. So I'm going to lighten it back up. I'm going to bring it back up. I'm sorry, my brother. I was on my mind. I was thinking about it, and I wanted to get it out. You know. This is the time of our show where we have this amazing part of the show that I don't really, most people laugh about. This is Chef Rock Stories. He has a story because it's connected to South Africa, right, Chef Rock?
Well, actually, it really connects with Bjorn.
Oh, so it connects with you. So we're going to lighten it back up again, get some more energy back around it. And so I apologize for bringing everybody down for a second. So Chef Rock Stories can lighten it back up.
But I wanted to make a point, too, that, you know, the team had a lot of obstacles in the way, going up to, you know, L.A. or Vegas first, and L.A. and then San Diego. And so, you know, I mean, it was a tough year to stay cohesive as a team, you know, when you guys were scattered all over the place and brought back.
I don't believe I asked you that question.
What's that now? What?
I don't believe I asked you that question. So.
I played in the 95th minute.
Let's get on to the Chef Rock stories, man, before we cut you out.
Listen to this. While I was doing the research on Bjorn, I found out that you were born on February 11th, 1987.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So I thought it would be kind of fun to put my story, what I was doing on that day, because that day is my birthday as well, Bjorn. February 11th, 1959. So when I was 29 years old, on my birthday, who I was. I want to compare to what you were doing on that first day of your life. So I put some notes together here. It was pretty funny. So things that we have in common. When you were one day old and I was 29 on our birthday, we were both single. Pretty cool. We were both clueless. I was clueless at 29. And you were because you were only a day old.
Yep.
Let's see. We both like posing for photos. I'm sure your family got a lot of photos, right? We both had a full head of hair. I don't know. you were being breastfed, but I don't kiss and tell. So,
you know. Probably.
Anything about that.
Don't think you.
So kind of cool, you know. You were one, and I was 29, and we had a lot of things in common. Now you're cool.
another thing there, though. My father's on the same day as well.
Get out! No kidding.
Yeah. I was born on his birthday. So yeah.
That's there's something special going on there between you and your dad. That is incredible, huh?
That's why my wife is actually afraid of having another kid, because we four boys. So she says, "Now I'll probably follow in the footsteps of my father." So she's she knows that if we have another kid, it's another son, and I don't think she can handle it.
Another boy.
So give us some information,
CJ. I hope it lived up to your expectations.
You know what? Here's the thing, man. You never let me down. It's always amusing. It's always funny. I didn't know where you were going when you said we both have something in common. You were born 29 years before him. I was like, I don't know what you could have in common. You know what I'm saying?
I knew the breastfeeding would throw you. The breastfeeding would throw you.
That was really good. So, you guys can share horoscopes.
Mark, so tell us something about yourself that we don't know, that Nate doesn't know, San Diego Legion fans don't know, so they get to know you a little bit better. Give you this opportunity to share some stuff about you.
Oh, that's actually quite tough because, my entire professional career, I've been a married man, and my family's always come first. So, I don't like have a lot of outrageous stories that I can tell you about, but I'm a big family man, and like I said, me coming here felt like my second family, basically. I mean, I got accepted so quickly that I just felt at home. I felt like this is basically the place where I need to be. Like I'm saying, I'm not a guy that's out there love partying or anything like that, so
What do you do outside of rugby?
Well, at the moment, I try and keep myself busy. Yeah, I'm most of the time recovering. spending a lot of time with the guys, getting to know the guys around here. But when I'm with the family, I usually spend like my off days. I'm spending with my kids. Yeah, I'll give the wife a bit of a rest on that day, probably. Yeah, I take them out there, have fun with them. I mean, being a father, being there for your kids is probably my biggest mission in life. Yeah, I don't want to be one of those fathers that you were father, but you're never there for your kids. I mean, I played with a couple of guys that's had stories with their kids where their kids actually got afraid of them because they didn't really know their fathers. With their dads being away all the time, and even when the dads are there, not spending a lot of time with them. So I never want to be that person. So I mean, I spend a lot of time with my kids. That's basically.
Is there anything in particular, any activities in San Diego that you would just love to introduce to your boys that you think they just love it here? Like anything off the top of your head?
Well, the beach.
Kimberley.
Well, where I'm from, Kimberley, it's like it's in the middle of South Africa. It's probably the hottest area in South Africa as well. So every chance I get to take them to the beach, they're the happiest. So I could probably just take them there. They'll spend the entire day there, keep themselves busy. So I think the beach will be number one on their list.
Would you get out there and teach them how to surf or boogie board, or would you be watching from the beach? Like, are you going to dad or what?
No, I'm a hands-on father. I want to be there. Yeah, my kids love my eldest son actually loves the beach. He loves swimming. He's actually swimming a couple of competitions back in South Africa. So he's a very good swimmer as well.
Oh, nice.
It probably takes off to my little brother. Yeah, the Aquaman. So yeah.
Nice. That's very commendable. We're going to take this time to say hello to our sponsor real quick, and then we'll be right back with you and then finish up.
Go ahead. Yeah, sir. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Trust Restaurant Group. Chef Brad Wise is cooking up some incredible dishes off his menus from the four different restaurants that they have. I know a lot of people have had problems going into restaurants. Now they're fully open. We need you to get down there and really help them out. They got the Cordellino Cafe, Fort Oak, Rare Society, and the Trust Restaurant. Get out there, as their motto is, in good food we trust. Go out and support our sponsor. We thank you for that.
Thank you, Trust Group. So we always give an opportunity for the players to come on. We know a lot about Nate, and the fans know a lot about Nate from this podcast. You just told us something about yourself. What kind of advice would you give? Now, the good thing is that I like that you're a father that's hands-on, that cares about his kids. That's a good message for the world. That's a good message for men, especially men of color and all races of people. But definitely, you know, we definitely need more fathers to pay more attention. So, you know, give us some advice about being a father, being a good father. Just give some advice to the world today and the troubles we're having.
Well, I think like I said, one of the main points for me is just being there for your kids. I mean, not in the sense that you're physically there with them. Sometimes they want to talk quite a lot. Well, I got my little son loves speaking, and I mean, he talks so much that sometimes people get lost in these conversations as well. They tend to lose interest in him, but I'm always the one that I'll be there. I want to listen to every single word that he says and encourage him after that as well. I mean, he had a bit of a stutter for a while because of people always like shutting him down when he's talking. So yeah, and then I actually just started taking him in and listening to him, listening to word for word, telling him just slow down your words, use it properly, and then don't get ahead of yourself. Just say what you want to say. And I mean, it's been working for him. And like I said, never push your kids down. Never tell them they can't do anything. I'm a firm believer, as my father brought me up, that if my kids wants to swim, I let him swim. If he wants to do something, if he wants to learn how to ride a bike, I have to be there to teach him how to ride a bike. If he wants to play a certain sport, I have to encourage him to do it. And I always tell my kids that once you start something, don't do it for a week and then want to give it up. Get to a point that you really know, okay, this is not something that I'm good at. This is something that I probably won't want to do in the future. And that's when you can probably say, okay, I won't give it up. I'll try it maybe at a later stage. But always just encouraging him and sticking by the side.
Awesome. Great fatherly advice.
Can I say one thing, TJ? Bjorn wouldn't say it, but as people can tell, he's a very disciplined guy, a really humble guy, you know, someone we consider a bit of a silent assassin. He's not super loud in the team, but when we get him to smile, it's special. And so, you know, Bjorn, we just appreciated you so much this season. Obviously, you're a weapon on the field, but just a really genuine person. And I think anybody who'd ever run into him, whether it's in San Diego or out there in the world, that's exactly what you'd see. So, Bjorn, thanks for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. This is it, man. Quick tap out.
No, thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Tap out.